Start with a vort, the Rav said yesterday between Mincha and Maariv. We in the parsha at the end it talks about we have the parshas of tefillin, some of them that are in our the ones that are actually in our tefillin, and one of them is of course you have to wear tefillin on your hand and your head, etc. And he said Rav Silberstein got the following shaila, and at this at a time of war where an Israeli soldier was badly hurt, one of his hands had to be amputated and the other one was basically in rehabilitation and it couldn't work well, and it was impossible to to put tefillin on his remaining arm, but you could put it on his rosh. And he and the psak is that the mitzvah of tefillin on your hand and on your head are separate, and therefore you could put it onto his hand. But his father started davening with him. In other words, he would come and his father would don talis and tefillin. And then the father said, there's a pasuk, and I can't remember the words. It's in Mishlei, the Rav said, that says, you should not ever do a mitzvah in front of someone who's incapable of doing it. So people say the classic case is that when we unfortunately go to a Beis Kfaris, right, we shouldn't learn Torah, we shouldn't have our tefillin out, wearing them out, because it's basically as if saying to the mace, I can still do these mitzvahs, and you can't, and so it's inappropriate. And so the father asked Rav Silberstein, maybe I should not be davening next to my son because he's incapable of wearing tefillin shel yad on his hand. And if I do it, am I not basically, you know, some whatever this mitzvah is, not doing it where it's inappropriate? Is this an inappropriate spot? And the Rav pointed out a couple of things. He said, to answer this question, the answer was continue to wear your tefillin. And there are a number of reasons why, he said. One reason is that when we say someone can't do a mitzvah, we're talking about a permanent impairment. Someone who is a mace obviously will never do mitzvahs again in this world. That is a very embarrassing thing to do by doing the mitzvah in front of them. Okay. Someone who is temporarily incapacitated, right? There's a realization he will again have the capability, and therefore, when you do the mitzvah in front of him, it's really not an embarrassing thing because he's potter from that mitzvah. If you can't do a mitzvah physically, you don't have to do it. It's quite simple. And then he told the story. He said that Rav Chaim Berlin was a Rav in Russia, and the Tsar confiscated every single shofar that existed, and it was impossible to get a shofar to blow on Rosh Hashanah. What did Rav Chaim Berlin do? He says he spent the entire night learning all the dinim of shofar, and because this halacha is that if you are incapable of doing a mitzvah and you take the time to learn about the mitzvah, the very fact, the learning, the Torah on this is considered equal to do the mitzvah. So, Rav Silberstein, and I think also, I think Rav Kanievsky was involved too, And what they came up and they said is, the son could do two things. One, if he's capable of it, he could go out and get fill-in for someone who has no fill-in. And in so doing, the other person doing the mitzvah gives him the schar of wearing fill-in on his arm. The other thing they said is like, right? Like Rav Chaim Berlin, what you could do is you could sit and learn about the mitzvos of tefillin shel yad, and in so doing, it's considered as if you have, in fact, done the mitzvah. That was an interesting insight into the end of the parsha. I picked up, actually, my son brought it with me on vacation, Rabbi Victor Miller's comment on the Makos. And he starts off by saying, the Makos don't work. He says, when we look at a detailed study of the Makos, it's clear, he said, or we should be clear beforehand, what was their purpose, and what their function was not. He says, let's be clear from the beginning. The Makos were not given, Makos were not given to free the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, Vani Akshef Leif Paro, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. And it happened more than once. So obviously the Makos were not going to be the methodology of taking the Yidden out. And in fact, we know the first 9 Makos, as we will continue to learn in this week's Parsha, Paro was obstinate. They didn't get out. What got it out? Why did they go out? We know they were given 2 mitzvos, the blood of Mila, that they had to do Korban Mila for those who didn't have it to eat the Korban Pesach. And they had to put the dam, the blood, on the side, right, on the doorpost. Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going out b'chatzos halayla, at midnight, that's when the geula occurred. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Paro, as the kids sing, Paro with pajamas in the middle of the night. He had to run and get the Jews out because he too was a Bechor and he was petrified that he was going to meet his maker. So he said, all right, if the Makos were not there to set us free, why? Why Makos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many ways to save Klal Yisroel. He could have come to Paro in a dream, as he did when the old Paro captured Sora, and say, tomorrow morning you're going to start losing 20,000 soldiers a day if you don't let them go. And Paro would have got up in the morning. He would have called all his advisors together, and he would say, what do you think about this? And they would have clearly come to the position, let's get rid of these people. We don't need them. The bother, if they're going to bring great devastation to us, let's go. And that would have been the end. And as Rabbi Victor Miller writes so cutely, in the Cairo Tribune, it would have said, redemption of the Jews occurs tomorrow. Right? Right? So if that, the Makos were there, there's just a reason. So, right? Says maybe And he says, we don't left to look too far. Hashem told Moshe that the Yedu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem. The Egyptians will all know that I am Hashem. That's why the Makos existed. And as Rabbi Miller writes, many Egyptians learned the lesson. Some a little more, right? And he says, some a great deal. He says, the Erev Rav, which left, were obviously somehow inspired by this, that their lot was not to be the same as the Egyptian nation. And he says, they got some of this Vayedu Mitzrayim, that Mitzrayim learned. He doesn't go into why the Erev Rav became so problematic, but it's another issue. But he says, we now understand that there's a methodology that the Egyptians are supposed to know that there's Hashem. But Mitzrayim was not a Kaddish Baruch Hu's main concern. There had to be a lesson for Klal Yisroel. The Jewish people obviously had to learn something. And he said, obviously, they were lessons for Klal Yisroel, because the Egyptians don't make a Pesach Seder. We do. We're the ones, and we have the Zechira, Laman Tishkar Es Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. As the Rambam writes, we're required to mention, and we do in Shema Yisroel twice a day, that we came out of Mitzrayim because of Hashem. So he says, I'm going to say that the words Vayedu Mitzrayim Keni Hashem really means Vayedu B'nei Yisroel Keni Hashem. He says, the Jewish people had to learn this lesson. Maybe the Egyptians were in their getting belief, we would get belief. He says, we cannot conceive what the amount of emunah instilled into the Jews in Mitzrayim resulted from each makkah. And he quotes a pasuk in Devarim, Laman teidu ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. I did this so that you will know, you will truly know that I am Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Klal Yisroel that before you can become a nation, before you can have statehood, you've got to learn the great lesson in life, that there are no accidents in the world. If you are leaving now, Mitzrayim, now to become my people and get the Torah on Har Sinai, the very first thing you've got to bear in mind at all times is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of every aspect of the universe. And whatever happens is only Beratzain, with the will of Hashem. Direct involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Makos were to teach. He says, I'm going to tell you a rule in history, Jewish history, and many of the people, and I know many of the Gedolim said worldwide history too. Events do not happen. There is no happenstance. Mysterious, unusual things happen because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching the Jewish people that when you see something happen, and let's say it's a misfortune, it's not happenstance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sends clues. If you want to know why something happened, he says we've got to study it. Look at the specific of the events. And if you do it repeatedly, and maybe we have to do it with tremendous Rabbanim who understand, we will discover why the very event transpired.
We don't usually see things till much later.
Right. So. Yeah, well. But he says that if we had the hasmada, if we had the fortitude, the enthusiasm, the effort, and we applied that to the best of our ability, we would be able to understand. And he lived his life this way. So that's, you know. And he quotes the Mishnah in Saita that says, the Mida She'ada Modeid Modedimoso. The very way a person measures out or operates, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates, measures to him. A punishment that someone gets in this world somehow resembles the error that had been made. That's the concept of Mida Kineged Mida, right? Which we say is, Amida is what? Our manner for manner. Chazal understood that every makkah the Egyptians received was, as we say, tit for tat. If you study the Midrashim, and there are probably thousands, you'll discover many examples. In some cases, he says, we can say to ourselves, let me think and let me discover why this specific makkah occurred. Why was this and this detail? It was done to compensate for something the Egyptians did to the Jews inappropriately. And he says, I'm going to tell you something. The Mithilath Yesharim, one of the great Musar statements, say, most people will never learn from what happens. They're too lazy to think, or they don't know how to think. He says, the exercise of thinking takes effort, and it's often painful effort. He says, Hatifu Fahatirda, people are just much too busy to think. We don't want to learn the lessons that need to be learned. And he says that unfortunately has been the problem in Jewish history, because if we really wanted to know, we could say to ourselves, why is Hashem doing dafka, this specific thing, and dafka that? We could figure it out, he says. And he goes further, and he says that with the, he says, he quotes a Medrash Rabbah, where it says, Al kol maka umaka hoya mishamesh hadever. Every single time a maka came, there was an accompaniment of dever, pestilence. Although dever shows up later on as one of the makos itself, but he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did send a form of pestilence with every makkah. When the water turned to blood, dever. When the frogs came, Dever. When the lice came, there was Dever. When the wild animals came, Dever. And he says, what does this mean? He says, let's look at the Gemara in Bava Kamma 60b. Gives a principle to Klal Yisroel. When Chas V'Sholom, there's an epidemic, he says, Dever be'is kanes raglecha. When there's an epidemic in the city, stay home. It's important advice. Remember when we were told with COVID, when it first hit, try to stay away from others. He says, we know that if you've got a cold, stay home from work. If chas v'sholom, you have the flu, try not to give it to family members, etc. He says, we've learned we don't freely share our germs with others. He says, when there's a dever be'ir, when there's this type of illness, sickness, you stay away from crowds, and what do? You remain home. Because the only sanctuary you can have is home. Yes, there are family members, but the logical, we can't all isolate ourselves in caves. We live in family units, and therefore, when every plague arose, okay, we understandably, naturally, and wisely huddled in our homes. The Jews weren't walking around freely to see Mohammed's water turn to blood, to see the frogs jumping into his hair. And he said, okay, the Jewish people are all home. Mother, father, and let's say three kids. What are they going to do? He says, CNN wasn't there to tell lies. Fox News wasn't there to tell us of the greatness of Trump. Right? And he said, they couldn't go out apple picking because that was dangerous. You weren't going to go take a hike because God knows what's in the air and who's around. You stay home. When you stay home and you don't have today's modern distractions, you talk to one another. And he says, all of a sudden, what are you talking about? You're talking about, look what's happening to the Mitzrim. Let's look at this plague. Let's try to understand it. You really don't have anything else to study at this stage of the game. Yes, we know they had some Torah, whatever it was then, but he says they would spend their days basically rehashing, he says, the type of thoughts that are put in the Medrash, right? And he says Chazal took all these thoughts of the wise Yidden and they were gathered into the Midrashim. The traditions were from the people. It was the later Chachamim who invented lessons that came, but it was the Yidden huddled in their homes who sat there and understood. They had an understanding, and they began realized that if a Kaddish Baruch Hu was bringing Makkah after Makkah upon the Egyptian people, it was to compensate for what the Egyptians did wrong, and they understood that there were lessons being taught, and if the Egyptians would take the time to think about why it happened, they would get some real understanding of what was happening. And he says, for example, they realized that the Egyptian Mumre next door picked up a bucket of water and was going to drink, right? And all of a sudden, he puked. Out comes blood from everywhere. He's vomiting blood. Ah, and I say, oh, I remember when that no good for nothing hit me in the face because I didn't have enough straws. I got a terrible nosebleed. Maybe this is the payment. Maybe that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him. Look, when you drew blood needlessly, you were wrong. Rectify it. And more so, when he digs into the ground to look for fresh water, again the blood hits him. God is telling him, look at the blood. The blood is here to remind you of your failings. And he said, how much more so? He says, when the Jewish people had these types of realizations, they realized how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashgacha ruled everything else. And the Jewish people then knew in this midah keneged midah, this tit for tat way of God operating, that there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu watching over Am Yisrael, and they began to believe that Hashem was going to bring the Golus where and when he wanted. Okay, the rabbi is here. I'm going to sign off. Thank you. Thanks for your time. We'll chat tomorrow.